so good to me.
What would you say you do here?
Monday morning, it was all I hoped it would be.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Monday morning couldn't guarantee that Monday evening you would still be here with me.
What would you say you do here?
Monday, can't trust that day. Monday, sometimes it just turns out that way. Oh, Monday morning, you gave me no warning of what was to be. Oh, Monday, how could you leave and not take me?
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah. But whenever Monday comes,
it's Monday.
Oh, it feels like a Monday.
It feels quite Monday. It's not only is it a Monday, it's a day that feels like
a week of Mondays.
You know what, though? I'll tell you what. This is the first Monday that the kids are back in school in 2 weeks. You think we're feeling a Monday?
It's true.
They had President's Day last week, so this is the most Monday they've had this year, probably.
Yeah. Well, that's the gray area, folks. Have a great week. Sometimes reality is, hey, we just don't want to talk to you. All right.
No, there's weirdness. There's always weirdness, and we can touch on the weirdness. There's goodness.
Here's a note for those of you who were watching the Olympic hockey, men's and women's, both winning gold, first time ever, I believe.
I think so.
The men's team. Now, they celebrated the fact that Sunday was the 46th anniversary to the day that U.S. beat Russia. What a lot of people don't realize is that U.S.-Russia game was not a gold medal game. Whoever won that game had to win one more to win the gold medal. So it was just a given that whoever won that game was going to win the gold medal because they were so much better than everybody else. So the game back in 1980 was not a gold medal game. There was one more left after that. So with that news, I ask you, was yesterday's win over 9-time gold medal winning Canada, they invented the sport, and they're still a little bit mad that we stole it from them here with the National Hockey League thing. Is that a bigger win than 1980? Is it a bigger win? Just take away Al Michaels' call of, do you believe in miracles? Yes.
Yeah.
Take away all that, just the win itself. Was it bigger than the one in 1980?
Yes, and I'll tell you what, the game, the win, is the foundation of the historical moment. But will the same piece of history be built on top of that foundation? That depends on what happens over the next little while here.
I mean, 1980, you had the Cold War going on.
Right.
So you had, there was a definite, I remember it very well, that there was a fear that at any moment, everybody was just going to get blown up. Everybody had their hand on the button to nuke. And if you watch some of the documentaries about Reagan and Carter back in those days, it was legit. We were pretty close.
Yep.
We were pretty close. So the strife between Russia and the United States back in 1980 probably escalates that victory over the one over Canada yesterday. But I tell you what, if you watch, I watched almost the entire game. U.S. had no business winning that game. They won like half, the first half of the first period. And from there on, it was like a pepper shaker on the U.S. goal. They were just firing.
Yep.
They were firing. I think there was three pucks on the ice at one time.
And a lot of power plays, too.
Yeah, he was just snaring them. And it was a hot goalie. And the U.S. goalie, the announcer said at the end of the game, there's one reason why the U.S. won this gold, and that's the goalie.
Yep.
And the goalie did it.
The hockey version of defense wins championships.
The
same principle applies. It really does. If you've got the ability to hamper the other team, then you can get lucky on offense. And that's what it takes. I'm not saying that's what happened, but that's possible, you know?
Yeah.
You've got the goalie has to, well, It's a terrible quote from history, but it also applies here. The goalie has to get lucky every single time. Your offense just once. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
One point through.
I tell you, though, when the U.S. had the shot, I think it was late first or second period, that hit off the right goal post and then ricocheted to the left goal post. It was a double clanker, and the guy who was doing the color commentary, he heard it right away. I mean, he lived hockey. He was an Olympic hockey guy. As soon as it happened, he said, that sounded like a double clinker. And they showed the replay, and it went clink on the right post and clink on the left post, and it kicked out. And when that happened, I thought, oh, boy, this isn't our day.
Nope.
That was the goal. That was the one. But it ended up happening in overtime. And some of the saves that goalie made for the U.S. were incredible and lucky at the same time. You got to be a little bit lucky when you have a day like that. I mean, he had one where he reached out with the stick. Literally, the guy had an open net. It was wide open, and he reached out with his stick, and he was able to deflect that puck away and prevent the goal from being scored.
That goalie is Connor Hellebuyck. B-U-Y-C-K. Connor, you've had this problem before. There's now I have it too. I'm sorry.
There's a lot going on in his name, right?
Connor H.
Yes.
If he becomes a teacher, my name is Mr. H.
Yeah, 32, I think I saw his age.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of a journeyman goalie and not a star. He'll be on all the talk shows and he'll be on all the podcasts and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yep. And I tried to click on a website that would give me more info about him, and I've been advertised too. We got that accomplished on a Monday morning. Whoops. I've got an ad blocker, but sometimes it really lets through. It's just some websites they take it personally when you show up with an ad blocker. They're like, we're going to give you extra, friend.
Yeah.
And so I just leave.
Yeah. It was fun watching the hockey game yesterday and realizing that in the final four of the semifinals and the finals for the Olympics, every single NHL team had a representative on one of those four teams. So that gives you an idea of kind of how it's spread out. And most of these guys are playing with or against guys that they, and the next day, now have to go into the locker room and say, okay, let's go out and win a game. now they're teammates again, when yesterday they're punching each other's teeth out.
Literally, the stick to the mouth, man. I know a puck to the face is a scary thing, but the stick to the face is that's like, yeah, I don't think there's much to prefer there either. Just two teeth, poof, gone.
I think as soon as you become a professional hockey player, they should just pull all your teeth and just put steel posts in there. That way when something happens, and most of them might just have steel posts, and that way when something happens, you just say, okay, all right, we'll just put another one in there. You're good.
Do you think George Washington would have been a fan of hockey?
I think he would have been offended by hockey.
You think
He was trying to protect his teeth, and he was doing everything he can, and here's hockey people just intentionally knocking it out of each other's mouths.
Well, see, but that's how history works, though. We take the things that would horrify our idols, and we amplify them into their, like, you know, we think of things, and I know we don't celebrate Washington because of his teeth and stuff, but I could envision, like, the Washington, you know, like some Washington-based hockey team being proud that they've got the same thing that our founding father had going.
The wooden teeth. Go ahead, hit me. They're all wooden. They're all fake, whatever. And we don't care.
Well, now I'm just picturing George Washington ice skating, and I think I might delve into the pit that is AI photography later just to make this happen.
He would have been, because he was kind of a taller guy, wasn't he? He was like 6'2" or something.
Well,
like
he
that?
Was close to average for today, which I think he was about 6 foot tall, but average was a little less at the time, especially with the settlers that had come over. So he was a couple inches. He'd be walking around like 6'2" or 6'3" today, kind of.
He'd be that intimidator in front of the net.
That's what I've heard.
George in front of the net, kind of the thug, the enforcer in front of the net, with his big gray wig.
And you're going to underestimate him because he's big, but he's also smart, and he's founding countries in his mind while he's protecting the net.
No helmet.
I think we need to. Okay, I'm not going to AI this. Your imagination is enough for this morning, Joel. I have a couple of topics that I wrangled for us on the gray area.
All right.
One you told me that I had to have. We're talking about sports as we always do. ESPN had fans vote on what sports they felt were the hardest sports and the easiest sports to accomplish, to try, to engage in.
Just in general.
Yeah, the hardest sports to do or to play and the easiest ones. And there's a theme. Out of the top six hardest sports, five of those six have a common trend, something that they share. What do you think that is?
I don't know, something in the Winter Olympics, possibly? No?
No. The five of the six hardest sports involve getting punched in the face or hit in the body somewhere.
Of the hardest sports.
Violent impact.
Boxing, MMA, all that stuff.
That's two of the top six right there. You want to go through the hardest ones or the easiest ones
first?
Let's go through the hardest ones first, because I'll tell you what, Joel, there's a lot of them on the easiest list that I'm really bad at. So I think we should save those for a moment. Number 10, hardest sport according to the ESPN fan survey. Oh, that's too much timpani. Was soccer. I'm with that.
A lot of running. There's a lot of running and continuous running clock. There's no breaks.
Yep, belongs on the list for sure. Number 9, baseball and softball grouped together as one.
Just the fact that hitting a ball, someone's throwing that hard at you, is very difficult, yes.
Yep,
yes.
I think it belongs on the list, if only because different stadiums are different sizes and home runs have to go different lengths. Like, who thinks that's okay? Anyway. Yeah.
And the requirement for good eyesight in baseball and softball is crucial, especially baseball. You got to be able to see it coming, otherwise you're done.
I was watching a former college player breaking down batting, and he was talking about how you can watch for whether a pitcher's wrist is fat or thin to know if it's going to be an off-speed or a fastball And I thought, you might be able to. I can't. You go ahead.
I remember when Rod Carew once said, I look for the rotation of the ball when it's coming at me. And my immediate thought was, when I was a junior in high school, I was looking to make sure the ball wasn't coming for my head is all I was concerned about. I wasn't concerned about how the ball was rotating.
Yeah, that's like the pitcher attacks the plate 60, 70 times a game. That's what pitchers do. They attack you. Number 8 is gymnastics. That's totally fair.
Yeah, that's hard, and the learning curve on that is painful.
Total body.
You're falling off pommel horses and uneven bar. It's got the word uneven right in it. I mean, if there's a sport and has the word uneven in it, that's hard. And then it's going to be hard.
Just call it the unfair bars. Number 7, tennis. Tennis is one that kind of surprised me. I'm thinking a lot of people who played must be on this list. And I say it surprises me not because I think it's easy, but because among the easy sports, I think it feels like tennis might fit. So we'll circle back to that.
I
haven't played tennis, though, so I know it's harder than I'm thinking it is.
I have. It's hard, but not top 10 hardest.
Here we go into the top 6, though. Number 6 is martial arts, which is grouped as a category, but you'll see that there are some that are kind of within that. Number 5 is wrestling. Mm-hmm. I mean, difficulty when you've got another human being and no help on either side. Yeah, that's hard.
Whether it's legitimate college, high school wrestling or professional wrestling, either one, hard.
And now here's the standout amongst these violent top 6. Number 4, basketball among the hardest sports. I agree. Constant motion for the same reason as soccer.
Well, I guess when you analyze it on what it takes to be good at basketball, you have to be able to multitask while you're running and dribbling, and there's a lot of multitasking going on there. So, yes, physically, no, not even close. Not even close to some of the other ones. But as far as just being able to do it, I guess I agree with that, the skill, the athletic skill that it takes.
On-the-fly decision-making.
Right.
I mean, it's you don't have time. There's no between plays. You've got, while you're pausing to take in the field, they're moving. You know, there's no real pause. Again, for the same reason as soccer, that constant motion. But again, I'm kind of surprised it's that high. Top 3, though, we've got football, ice hockey, and boxing.
Yeah, I'll put all those in there, yeah.
Getting punched in the face is kind of that makes sports difficult.
Hockey's very, very physical. Football, obviously physical. And I would probably take tennis out. Don't take tennis out. You said basketball. Basketball is even harder at the professional level, because not only are you doing all of – and college is getting to be bad, too. Not only you have all these skill sets, but now they're allowing players to just hit each other. You know, just go down low in the paint, and they're clawing and they're elbowing, and it's just part of the physical game now of college and pros. So I'll take that. Tennis, maybe a little questionable in there.
All right, well, I think we better take a look at the easiest sports and keep track of how many you play, Joel, and then keep track of how many you play poorly, because I was having a bad time going through this list.
All right, top 10 easiest sports according to this ESPN poll, not the gray area.
According to ESPN, not according to us. Number 10 is golf. And we're off to a rough start because I am so bad at golf.
Well, you can play it, you know, without any physical consequences, unless you're playing in a St. Anthony's golf tournament 15 years ago and you got hit in the head by a stray ball. But other than that, yeah, I mean, you can do it, but are you going to be good at it?
You know what? I'll tell you what. If the question is, do people regularly do this with alcohol in their system? Yeah, golf is about as easy as they get. But then again, so is stumbling to the floor, because people regularly do that.
And what is the definition of, I mean, you can do it, yeah, but being good at it. Is it your definition of being good at golf? Is, yeah, I had one good drive on hole 11. Man, remember that drive? And then the rest of the course was just a drunken stupor. So what's your definition of good?
A good time,
clearly. A good time.
That's allowed. Number 9, cheerleading. And here's where I get a little bit... The immersion breaks a little bit, because it's like, wait, cheerleading? What about gymnastics? And I know they're not all the same, but there's a lot of overlap there, or am I super ignorant to say that?
Well, I guess, I mean, when you go into collegiate cheerleading, there's a lot of pyramids, or they're up way too high, and it gets dangerous. But I guess general cheerleading, there's a place for everybody. I mean, they can make it work for you generally, but I don't think it's easy, but we'll leave that up to other people to decide.
Right. I'd like to hear cheerleaders and gymnasts discuss that. I'd be very curious what their stances might be and whether they'd agree in the end. Yeah. Number 8, roller skating. Man, my knees are like, we've given a lot of ourselves to that pavement.
Well, just general roller skating, I think, is somewhat easy. But if you're like, if you want to be in like a roller derby, where there's a 300-pound dude or woman coming at you and knocking you down, that's a whole nother story, folks.
You know what this is turning into, Joel? Two uncoordinated white guys talk easy sports. That's what this is.
But I can roller skate. I can do that stuff. So I'm gonna leave it there as easy. Okay, I'm gonna leave it there.
Number 7, equestrian horse riding events. I mean, I think people are assuming the horse does a lot of the work, and of course it does. The horse is the horse, of course.
I mean, not easy, but a lot of work goes in, a lot of time, effort to be good to your relationship with the horse. So easy, maybe not so much.
Maybe less performance demand.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. I can
still be tough though.
Number 6, archery.
Yeah, I'll put that in the list because it's I'll put that on the list.
Number 5, curling.
Yep. I'll leave that on the list. All right.
Curling belongs. Number 4, bowling.
Bowling, I'll leave that there too because.
I think what we're clearly seeing here is that these easy sports can be done with a lot of skill that's difficult to master, but it's just a different class. You don't have to get punched in the face to go bowling.
What's a person's definition of easy and what. I mean, we're listing a lot of sports that, yes, you could probably go out and just kind of do. I mean, you're not going to hop in a toboggan at the top of the Olympic sled because you're going to be dead by the time you get to the bottom. So these are easy in the way that you can probably participate with little previous, previous work.
I found the common thread. I've spotted it. I found what the difference is here. I've cracked the case. I found Carmen Sandiego. Just give us a second here. We'll get through these top three. Top 3 easiest sports, according to ESPN.
All right.
Shooting.
All right.
Billiards. And fishing. Now, that's totally fair, because as I said on Friday when I found this list originally, you can't put yourself in the back of a boat that drags you along and call it bowling or gymnastics. You know, you can't let a machine do all the work and still say you did the thing.
You can do it, but are you going to be good at it? I mean, anybody can go fishing. Anybody can go bowling. Anybody can play ping pong. But
but
to be good at it, we don't want to slight anybody who's a really good professional fisherman or the guides, because they know what they're doing. I mean, they're really, really good at it.
Yep.
But the physical demand on it, I mean, they're long days and stuff like that. I'll agree. I'm there with you.
So I think I've spotted what an actual trend might be here. Among the 10 hardest sports, just briefly going back over the list, soccer, baseball, gymnastics, tennis, martial arts, wrestling, basketball, football, ice hockey, and boxing. In 9 of those 10, gymnastics being the exception, there's another human being actively trying to stop you while you are trying to do what you're doing.
Yeah, it's true.
Actively, same time, no turns taken. It's, hey, you try, I try, and we're going to find out by whether it happens, this thing you're trying to do. Either you're going to score or not.
I think ping pong should have been on the easy list.
Maybe.
I mean, maybe there's a criteria for what the sport is. I think cornhole should have been in there somewhere. Because everybody can play cornhole. You can be good at it, but you can play cornhole.
Yep.
But whether it's a sport or not, some people will say, well, not really. If you can do it with a beer in your hand, maybe not.
Well, and now what I'd like to do, Joel, is imagine the adversarial version of the easiest sports. Imagine a version of golf where somebody else is there trying to like hit your ball before you do.
Playing defense.
There's actually a video game out there right now called Battle Golf, and that's something that can happen is like somebody could walk up behind you and take out your ankles as you're trying to hit your ball. It's like you've got to try to figure out your priorities in such a world. But cheerleading, I mean, like imagine like a cheerleader battle. I think we'd get like a Pitch Perfect movie at that
point. Well, they've kind of... Some smaller schools have kind of combined cheerleading into dance teams too.
Cheerleading. I mean, like imagine like a cheerleader battle. I think we'd get like a Pitch Perfect movie at that
point. Well, they've kind of some smaller schools have kind of combined cheerleading into dance teams too. They're both. So those are obviously, they take
right.
a lot of work, a lot of effort. You have to be in good shape. You have to be flexible. I'm not going to say anything easy about that at all.
I'm thinking equestrian, but with an angry crowd throwing things and a horse that's not participating well. Like
depending on what the horse is like. I mean, you're right. Equestrian is a lot. It's the only sport of all those that we mentioned that requires an animal to behave itself.
That's true. That's true. But we haven't mentioned the audience, and so that might become more relevant than you originally thought. Joel, it's 8:33. We're in the middle of the gray area. Got a word from sponsors, news, weather, and sports coming up next, but we're not finished here because we've still got to try to give away a gift certificate today on the Snowball Throwdown, maybe Hoedown Showdown. And we've got some birthdays coming up, so call, text, or email us. Stay tuned. We'll be back soon for the Gray Area on 98Q.
Monday, Monday. So good to me.
What would you say you do here?
Double mamas, double papas today. It's a double mama papa Monday.
Why not?
Top five.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the munders.
Top five most overused phrases by the announcers at the Olympics. This has gone through a lot of analytics. So here you go. Number five. If I get a little bump bump after each one. Number five. Oh no!
What did you say?
There you go. Number four. That's not good. Number three, hundredths of a second. Number two, most overused phrase at the Olympics, what a story. And the number one most overused phrase at the Olympics, yep. There you go. I think women, this is a bold statement, all right? This is a bold statement. You ready for this? I think women who play co-ed curling use it just as an excuse to yell at their partner who's male at the top of their lungs and get away with it.
You think of the two sexes, the one who's trying to get away with yelling is the women.
All I hear is just some lady in the background going, "Yon! Yon!" And I'm thinking to myself, fold the laundry! Fold the laundry, you idiot!
You know what I think of now, the frustration noises is it's you from the other room 2 weeks ago. Let me talk to a human being for the love of God. I've you keep pretty chill, Joel. You generally do. You don't run too hot. And that was about the peak frustration I'd heard from you. I was pretty happy with that. Joel, before we dive in too much further into anything that isn't birthdays, we should shout some people out and touch on some birthdays because I think we've gotten in all the ones we can get. And we've got to try to give away a gift certificate today. Why don't we try and do that quick?
Oh, the snowball.
Do you want to do that before we
snowball.
Go through your list,
yeah,
please?
Yeah, let's do it. This would end it, right? We got one left. Is that right?
I think so.
Because we're doing a text to win today. Is that right?
Yes, we do. Well, do we have a text to win today, or are we doing that tomorrow?
I think it's today. I thought I put it on there for quote as desired.
Look at this person calling us. We didn't play the sound.
Let's do the call first, and then we'll,
okay,
then we'll talk
fine,
about the other
okay,
one.
Fine. Well, you're still caller number one, and you're way too early. Caller number three is going to get a chance at a gift certificate. One of the last two remaining. You're caller number two. I'm kind of hoping that first caller who got in super early is going to end up on the right timing. Let's see. One more caller. Two more certificates. We're going to give one away by text to win. There it is. You are caller number three. Who am I talking to?
Hello?
Jerome,
how you doing?
Jerome! Did we have you win one less than 2 weeks ago?
I don't know. You should have it on record.
Let's see. Let's see. Which one was that going to be? We had you win one. There it is. The fifth. Oh, yeah, you're good. You're good, Mr. Janicek. You are good to play again today because you won more than 2 weeks ago. So let's see if you're going to win one of the last two remaining.
So I'm going to do a spoiler here. The Quilt is Desired one.
Yes, we're going to win.
Quilt is Desired is going to be the one we're going to text to win.
Okay.
So you can spin the wheel if you want. But it'll be for the other one.
All right. So we're going to spin the wheel here in a minute to find out what certificate. For some reason, we'll spin that wheel. But I'll tell you what, all the sponsors include Odeer Nutrition, Ross's Sports Shop, D&D Tire and Auto Center, the Big Dipper Bar, Lean is Northern Pines, Burgers Bar and Grill, J&A Services, Marine and Power Sports, The Dead Squirrel, Quilt as Desired, Coop's Pizza, and Butternut Cafe. Let's give this baby a spin.
All right, Mr. Janicek, here we go.
I have a feeling it's going to be D&D Tire and Auto Center. And look at that, D&D Tire and Auto Center. It is, like Joel mentioned, we'll be doing a text to win for the other certificate. But Mr. Janicek, all you've got to do is pick between A and B. One of them's a gift certificate. The other one's another try on another day.
Smoking or non-smoking?
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Which one you want?
B.
B.
It is.
All right, here we go.
My name is Jack Frost. We're going to have a little fun.
Yes, sir!
Yeah. There you go. And once again, that's how it's done. The streak continues, Mr. Janicek.
It's over.
You get the one for D&D Tire and Auto Center. And with that, the call-ins for the Snowball Throwdown Showdown, sometimes Hoedown, have ended. Just got to get a little bit of that in there. Mr. Janicek, we've got your other certificate ready to pick up anytime right alongside this one from D&D Tire and Auto Center.
All right.
Camp Longshot.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks,
you guys.
Camp Longshot. We'll talk to you again.
Casey
not
and the
soon
Sunshine
enough.
Band get down.
You know, we're going to have to modify this. We're going to have to create modular. I'm lacking like 8 buttons to make this experience a
we're
full
done.
One.
I mean, we're doing a text to win. If you check your WCQM shared sheet that I have with you, I believe it's on there. But the quilt is desired.
Yes, I see it right here.
What is the keyword?
The keyword is melt.
All right.
We got a keyword is melt. So if you would like to be entered to win a Quilt as Desired gift certificate, it's the very last piece remaining from the Snowball Throwdown, sometimes Hoedown, Mowdown, Blowdown, Showdown.
Casey and the Sunshine Band, get down.
The text to win keyword is melt, M-E-L-T, melt. Thank you to everybody who called so frequently or even just once in a while and won gift certificates. Linda, Pat, Gary, Don, Jen, Al, Pat again, Wendy, the old buck. So many awesome people.
Yeah, so if you can use $25 to quilt as desired with Jane, go ahead, text us. Melt. Appropriately enough, we're ending the snowball throwdown thing with melt.
I would have had the Wicked Witch of the West ready for this. It would have been perfect.
I'm melting. All right, here we go. Top 20. We're down to the top 20 of people that Joel has met, seen, maybe in his mind, but no, all in reality. So my numbers got a little bit messed up. So we're in the top 20. So number 20 is actually where we left off last week. I went one too deep, but that's Richard Serban, Mr. Papa Mau Mau, the Oak Ridge Boys. Had a chance to interview him a few years back. Number 19, Rick Dees from the Rick Dees Top 40 and the Rick Dees Cast of Idiots, Disco Duck. YouTube it. You'll regret it. Rick Dees, one of the most famous radio DJs and still does a Top 40 Countdown show. Number 18, Randy Travis. He was up at up north way back in 2000 when I started here. Somebody set me up to talk to him, and we had a nice little 10-minute interview about life and stuff, and that was wonderful.
I missed the button. I tried to hit it that time, too, but I missed.
So Randy Travis, number 18. Number 17, Governor Scott Walker. When he was here many, many years back, had a chance to sit down and have a one-on-one with him. That was kind of cool. Number 16, number 44, biking legend Chuck Foreman. Played in a golf tournament with him. Later did a couple radio segments with him. Very nice guy. Entrepreneur. Check him out on Facebook. He'll sell you whatever he's got. 2019-16. Number 15, Leroy Butler, the X-Packer Grape. Did a few shows with him over at Lake of the Torches along with DJ Rick a few years back. That was pretty cool. 1870-1650. 14th, Viking play-by-play guy, Paul Allen, the voice of the Vikings. worked with him at KFAM, was friends with him for a while. He probably won't know who I am now. It was cool to start my radio career in Minneapolis with him when he was there. Number 13, Marianne from Gilligan's Island. That was a wonderful interview. She's passed away since. So Marianne from Gilligan's Island. Two more. Number 12, a guy that influenced me when I was very young, Rich Little, voice impressionist. Was on the late night talk shows with Johnny Carson and others for years and years. Rich Little, one of the great impressionist impersonators of all time, voice impersonators. And number 11, outside the top 10, Irv Cross. He was on the original CBS NFL pregame show with Brett Musburger and Jimmy the Greek. Was later the athletic director at Gustavus Adolphus University. Had a chance to work with him at KFAN in Minneapolis and do some stuff with him. There you go. So the top 10, I know you're saying, Joel, just give it to us. I can't wait a week. But we're going to make you wait a week.
It's not too terrible. It's not such a wait. I'll tell you what, we've got a brief wait before we finish up the hour with those birthdays I promised you. I see we have a couple texts rolling in, people sending us the keyword melt. We've still got some birthdays locally, a couple shout-outs, and a couple celebrities to alert you to. So get those last-minute texts and emails in with birthday shout-outs. Right. While you hear a quick word from sponsors on 98Q, we'll finish the hour.
Are we done?
We're not done with what?
The gray area. Are we done or not?
Well, we can be if you want. You can leave if you like.
No, I'll be here. I always want to say goodbye, but back.
We'll work on this outro thing. We'll figure it out. Don't worry.
I'll be here.
Stick around.
I got nothing better to do.
You already skipped ahead of me like I usually do to you. I'm going to do it to you now, and we'll call it balance.
All right.
Stick around, folks. We're not done yet. Not on 98Q.
54,000.
Birthday time, Joel. We'll finish the gray area this week with some birthdays briefly. We had a couple over the weekend that I cannot leave by the wayside because we had one on Saturday for Orv Stewart. Happy birthday,
the old buck.
Orv, the old buck himself. From Al, Tina, Tamara, and George. And I got to give the one. Anytime someone called George calls or texts one in, I've got a special place in my heart for everyone named George. It's my middle name. And also yesterday, happy birthday, Steven Sherwinski from Family, Friends, and your three sons.
So you're Triple G?
I am. I'm Triple G.
Triple G, you could be a professional wrestler.
G cubed, 3G, G3.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Heard them all on the schoolyard.
From Pike Lake.
Oh, gosh.
Weighing Triple G.
If any of my middle school classmates are hearing this, then my heart just shrunk.
Was that your nickname? Or?
No. Well, as much as anybody can have a nickname. I was a weird kid, Joel. I was absolutely a weird kid. So nicknames I had, but I earned each and every one of
Triple
them.
Triple G. Like Triple H. You were before Triple H.
That one was kind of given to me. I didn't select that one. And you don't pick your own nickname. That's not how nicknames work, but I definitely didn't pick that one. Dakota Fanning turns 32 today. Dakota, I know her best probably from War of the Worlds, but a lot of child roles. Aziz Ansari, he played Tom Haverford in Parks and Rec. He's 43 today. Josh Gad played Olaf in Frozen. Are you an Olaf fan?
I've seen Frozen, but I don't know who that is.
He's 45. If you had a younger daughter instead of an older son, I think you'd be more into Frozen.
Gotcha.
Willingly or otherwise. A couple last ones for you. Tom Baudet is 71 today. You know that name?
Leave the light on.
He'll leave the light on.
Mr. Motel 6. Yep.
He's Tom Baudet. And Ed Too Tall Jones, 75 today, the Cowboys legend.
He's not on my list. I met Ed Too Tall Jones.
Did you really?
I have his autograph, actually.
Oh, no.
Yes, I have a photo with Ed Too Tall Jones, and I didn't put him on my top 50. See, I'm getting old. I forget about things.
Too Tall is 75 today. And finally, Peter Fonda, a member of the legendary Fonda acting family, born today's date, 1940. Also, how dare we not mention this? How dare we? We missed one.
Mm-hmm.
Or did you mention that last week?
May have, but our very own DJ Rick celebrated a milestone birthday over the weekend.
We didn't put enough stink on it if we did mention it.
Yeah, in fact, I talked to him on Saturday. He had a big bash that I was invited to go to, but it didn't work out for me to fly out there. But I thanked them for the invite. But yeah, they had a nice celebration with a lot of his buddies out there. A 70th birthday for DJ Rick over the weekend.
I'm suddenly getting a phone call.
Okay.
Should I find out whether that's DJ Rick on the other end of the
line? Either DJ Rick or the mayor of Price County, one of the two.
All right. Hey, we're going to find out. Let's see how this show is going to end. You're on 98Q Country. Who is this?
This is DeFoe Smith.
host.
Well, I'll talk to you off air. We'll figure that one out on the other side of things. But hey, we're just finishing up with the show. That definitely wasn't DJ Rick, though. I think we could say for sure.
How did I forget that? Ed Tuttle Jones and I met Troy Aikman. I have a picture with Troy Aikman, an autograph. How did I forget the man? I'm getting old.
Tuttle Jones. I'll tell you what, Joel. We won't beat you up too bad. We'll be a little more gentle on your mind. In fact, that's exactly how we'll finish up the show today.
Have a great day, everybody.
Wrapping up the gray area with a little Glenn Campbell, Gentle on My Mind. Hopefully, that's how Monday is for you. 98Q. See you tomorrow.